Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Wilson, and I am flying solo today. Today, we are talking about how to prevent and correct a hunchback. And you know what I'm talking about. That's granny posture. That is that hunch on your back, that little hump at the base of your neck where your shoulder blades meet your neck. You've seen it on older people. You've seen people hunched over, and you probably likely have seen this in the elderly mostly. And so how do you prevent that? And then we're going to talk about if you already have it, no shame, how do you reduce that and how do you make it better? And so first of all, you have to talk about cause. Hunchback is caused by an underlying problem in the bones themselves. This is very important to understand this, is that posturally, it's not just your neck is forward that causes this. If you take x-rays on somebody who's starting to develop a humpback or that hunch, then you're going to start to see not only the posture, you know, the alignment of the spine, you're going to start to see the bones changing shape. And this is very important to understand, that bones adapt to the position and the stresses that you put on them. So your bones are not static, they're dynamic, they're living things, and so are the discs. And so if the bones are in a bad position for too long, the bones will actually start to change their shape. They'll wedge. And what I mean by wedging is it'll get thinner or shorter on the front end because that's where all the stress is placed. And so I hope you can picture this right now. Picture blocks, okay? And again, I'm going to go back to analogies that maybe I've talked about in the past, is picture blocks, like you're building out of blocks, but those blocks are not made of hard steel. They're made of, let's say, rubber, or they're made out of really thick sand. You're building like a sandcastle. And so just think about this. If you put more pressure on one side, eventually that pressure, that stress is going to cause areas that want to buckle, if you will, or it's going to thin, or it's going to compress. So think about that compression, that compressing pressure constantly there. Well, eventually the bones work the same way. It's called Wolf's Law. And bone adapts to stresses. So if you put stress on individual areas of the bone or the disc, either the disc will thin out or the bone will start to compress. Eventually, what ends up happening is that new bone starts to form. Some of that new bone might form actually in a ligament. And so it'll start to fuse. It's called an osteophyte. It'll start to fuse the bones together. And that is a natural protective process that the body goes through to make sure that this does not end up being catastrophic. So it's actually the body doing a good thing, but, and it's protective, and the reason why I say but is because you want to stop that process as soon as possible by correcting the underlying cause. Because it fuses together in that position, well, that, you know, hunchback or that hump you're getting is likely not going to go away. Now, it can get worse over time. You likely have seen that. I know I've seen that with patients, is that can get worse over time. If it's uncorrected over a decade, well, you're talking about a lot of damage there that oftentimes is uncorrectable. The biggest thing you have to worry about is the linkage between that and heart disease. I don't know if you know this, but there's a strong link between a hunchback and heart disease. It's because of the nerves in that lower part of the neck and the upper back. That's where the nerves go. They go directly into the heart. And there's been cardiologists that have said that's more predictive than cholesterol or high blood pressure combined. So that hunchback, you see somebody with that, then think heart disease. Think lung problems because that's where the nerves go. One of the key things to understand about this is that humpback, that hunch that you see up there, it's likely not just caused by misalignments in that area. you've got to go lower down at the base of the spine to really see what the base is. Because what you're going to find is many times that hump that that person is getting is coming from a bad lower back. Maybe that's a anterior pelvic tilt. You know, their hips are rotated forward, or sometimes it's rotated backwards and they have to get that hump in order to stay upwards in gravity. And so a lot of times you got to look at the base of the spine, because many times that's where the problem is actually coming from. If it's not coming from there, look above it. And when I say look above the hump, it's look at the head. What's the position of the head? Is the head very far forward? Many times these people have a loss of the cervical curve. You should have a curve in the neck. It's a banana-shaped curve. That C-shaped or banana-shaped curve, the opening of that curve should go towards the back. Many times the people who are starting to form a humpback have a loss of curve, if not a full reversal of the curve, which is even worse. So a reversed curve is rare. You don't see this very often, but it happens. And it's happening more frequently because of texting, because of driving in bad ergonomic positions. It's happening because of technology, looking down at the computers. It's happening more because of, frankly, wearing masks and having to see over the mask, and even just the posture of fear. You're seeing this more frequently now than ever of a loss of the cervical curve or reversal of the cervical curve because of the position that we are putting ourselves in chronically. And so one of the tips is to mind your posture. Look at how you are sitting. Constantly be correcting yourself on a computer or devices. And then give yourself time where you're free of any of those things, where you're looking up, where you're out in the open, in the open air, where your head is tall, standing tall, shoulders back, shoulders depressed, in more of a confident, proud position. That's just good ergonomics in general. And then if you know that, hey, you've had bad ergonomics, or you know that you've started to develop more of that humpback or hunch, well, there are certain muscles that have gotten tight over time that really need to be addressed. And those muscles that need to be addressed and need to be stretched, you know, those can be identified by somebody who specializes in, you know, posture correction or spinal correction. And that's certainly what Max Living Doctors specialize in, is that. But some of those muscles are like your pec muscles, so your chest muscles. You know, certain muscles or certain stretches, like a pectoral stretch or wall angels. If you don't know what wall angels are, just simple search wall angels. You're going to see how to do wall angels. Shoulder stretching, so stretching this part of your shoulder that is close to your pec muscles, where your pec muscles insert into the shoulder. So the front part of the shoulder, a shoulder stretch, because those muscles tend to get very tight with bad posture. A lat stretch, so your lat muscles, again, you can look up a lat stretch. That's another area of need, is your latissimus dorsi, if you want to know the technical term, but a lat stretch. And then lastly, for stretching and strengthening, is a foam roller throughout the thoracic spine. So if you look up foam rolling throughout thoracic spine, you'll see that foam rolling can be highly beneficial to the muscles and highly beneficial to just the movement and breaking up some of the scar tissue. It's called a myofascial, similar to a myofascial release. It'll help you go from that flexed position, that forward position, that hunched, to really open up. It'll help you to go into more thoracic extension instead of that flexed position. And so those are some of the stretches and strengthening exercises that you can help with the muscles. But remember, it's not just the muscles. You have to address the underlying causes. If you have spinal alignment problems, which is the underlying cause of that hump, well, then just correcting the muscle imbalance is going to be a lifelong battle that, frankly, what I've seen is a losing battle, because you're working against a structure that is constantly and relentlessly moving in the wrong direction. It's degenerating into the wrong position. So part of the approach has to be addressing the alignment. And that's what we do. We have offices all over the country. And the reason why we believe we exist is to help relieve unnecessary pain and suffering. That's it. We believe that humanity needs a different approach to health and healthcare, and certainly preventative medicine, if you call it that. And I remember early on in practice, this was several years ago, but it still sticks out in my mind because she still is still is active in my life and still comes in and into my clinic and is a regular patient. But Peg, when she first came into my clinic, she had a humpback, you know, and you could see it posturally, and she was concerned about it cosmetically. But her driving factor was actually that she had headaches, and they turned into chronic headaches. And you can only imagine why somebody might get chronic headaches whose posture. So her posture, when you look at her from the side, her head. So if you just look at the way to identify posture, and just, this is a simple and easy approach. You can do this at home if you wanted to. Look at your spouse or your neighbor or something, and your earlobes should be directly over your shoulders, which then should be directly over your waist bones, your femur bones, which should be directly over your ankle bones. So that's a very simplistic way of just identifying good posture. So when you look at yourself from the side or look at somebody from the side, technically it's the ear canal over the shoulders, which over the hips, which is over the ankle bones. Well, Peg, when she first came into the clinic, her earlobes were clear out in front of her waist. Some might call that forward head posture. It wasn't just a postural thing. Even when she tried, she couldn't get her head back even close to where it should be. Take x-rays of her spine, and you can see that her spine was actually degenerating into that position. Now remember, she had chronic headaches at this point. Why would she have chronic headaches? Well, could it possibly be that her neck muscles and all the nerves were so unhappy with the fact that they were constantly being worked? Think about this. If you're holding a bowling ball out in front of your body, and you're holding that bowling ball out in front of your body, call it an 8-pound bowling ball, you're holding that in front of your body constantly, your arm muscles are going to get very tired. Well, when your neck muscles have to hold up your head, this is way out in front of your body, your neck muscles are going to get very tired. And they get weak. And over time, that's going to cause a hypersensitized nervous system constantly. The unfortunate thing is I could tell that had been going on for a really long time, because when I took her x-rays, she had phase 2 degeneration at C5, C6, C7, and T1. Why does that matter? Well, when your spine starts to degenerate, aka get arthritic, well, it's hard to stop that process and get it going in the right direction. And it's certainly hard to reduce any curves that have started and make any significant postural changes. It's difficult. You have to have a concerted effort, and it certainly takes direction and to plan that care and how that's going to look. Retraining of the muscles and ligaments and alignment, it takes work. And she has phase 2 degeneration. It's been going on for a while. For me to be able to see phase 2 degeneration, that's been going on for at least a decade. We're talking about her problems, that she has chronic migraine headaches. I find out she's on multiple medications. She's been visiting the medical doctor, or, you know, her own medical doctor, who had put her on one medication, which turned into two medication, which turns into three medications. So for the past however many years, she's been masking the symptoms of her underlying condition, of her underlying problem, thinking that it's just within her to have headaches. And that's the problem for me that really just bothers me, is that when the solution is a Band-Aid approach and someone tells, you know, maybe it's a doctor, maybe it's a nurse, tells my patient that they're just going to have to manage their symptoms because this is going to be a lifelong problem. Well, how do you know it's going to be a lifelong problem? Have you taken x-rays? Have you talked about a plan of attack? Have you referred her out to somebody who specializes in spinal correction who can actually help to maybe correct or reduce this so they don't have to live like this forever? Like, how do you know that this is going to be a lifelong problem if you've not actually tried to correct it? Or if you've referred out to somebody who specializes in correcting these types of problems? And so it really bothers me when I hear things like that, because managing problems without correcting the underlying cause of the problem, or without even attempting to do that, I think is bad healthcare. And I think it hurts people. And I do believe there's a lot of people walking around with problems like this and suffering unnecessarily, and that kills me, because that's somebody's mom, that's somebody's dad, that's somebody's brother, that's somebody's sister, that's somebody's friend. And so in healthcare, I believe we should treat them that way, that that's our mom or dad or brother or sister or friend. I'm talking through with Peg her x-rays. I'm talking through that this is going to take some work. And I'm talking through that this is the underlying cause of her headaches. And as I'm talking through it, I see that she's getting emotional. And I think this is the reason why this is still kind of stuck in my brain, is because for the first time, she's got hope that she doesn't have to live like this. And she tells me that the headaches were so bad at one point that she had thought about taking, her own life. And I'm not trying to dramatize this. I just remember it. And it struck me because I think there's a lot of people who get to a point where they're hurting so bad and they just don't know that they have answers, that there's other alternative approaches to health. And we talked through what we were going to do. We talked through very specific adjustments, very specific rehabilitation, very frequent reassessments to make sure she's moving in the right direction. And I told her it's going to take work. It's going to take work. But I'm confident we're going to be able to help her. And the confidence came because we were able to, after her very first treatment, I was able to see changes. So I before I have that conversation, I want to see if we're going to be able to make changes or not. You fast forward however many years later, Peg is still a patient. She comes in for maintenance care, just like going to the dentist. You don't go just when you hurt, you go to prevent future problems, right? So some people say, do I have to go forever? No, you don't have to go forever, but once you get your life back, oftentimes you want to keep doing the things that you did to get there. Hopefully that makes sense. I still see her on a regular basis. No longer has headaches. She forgets how bad it once was. She even forgets the story she originally told me. It's not a negative thing. She was in a dark place during that time, and she's not in that place anymore. And here she is. She's living her life. And again, pain-free, medication-free, doing what she wants to be able to do. And I tell you that story because if you're struggling, if you know somebody who is, perhaps they don't have to struggle. Perhaps they don't have to live their life like that. One of our mission statements is to relieve unnecessary pain and suffering. And so that's part of why I believe we exist. And we do that naturally, non-drug, non-surgical approach to health. And we have offices all over the country that ultimately specialize in what I'm talking about today. So if that's you or you know somebody who needs help, send them this episode. This would be a great way to introduce them to Max Living. And send this episode to them. And if you or someone you know or love needs to find a doctor or wants to find a doctor, it's very simple. You just get on maxliving.com and find a clinic. And it's very simple to find a clinic near you.